This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
If you want, you can try. If you cannot do it, then you can try to be better. Or you can sit down and cry. This is the life philosophy that has carried my guests from the largest and most populous island in Denmark to the fairways of the world as a competitor in the Danish paragolf team. Mette is diagnosed as having cerebral palsy. In her case, the CP affects the left side of her body, particularly her leg and arm. In this conversation, she talks us through her days as a budding swimmer, how she came to golf, and her commitment to give something back. Every day, Mette is inspired when looking along the range and seeing players with disability working on their games, and most importantly, smiling. Smiling is something that Mette does easily, even though when I caught up with her, she was in full competition mode. Her maxim of, I play, I win, helps, as she realises that even to take part is a victory in some ways. Please enjoy my conversation with Mette Vega Lingard. Time for a short break, in which Mike Lee will tell a short and true story about Ping.
From the age of 13, when John Solheim's club building apprenticeship started in their Californian garage, he learnt countless lessons about business and life from his father, Carsten Solheim. As the company graduated from putters to irons and woods, Carsten would decide whether a concept went forward by asking, "Does it make the ball go straighter?" The clubs Ping were making did perform better, and from our original small operation, we were transforming club design and manufacturing. Carsten Solheim revolutionised the modern golf club, and he set high standards for design and quality that other club makers had to follow if they wanted to compete. Carsten did this by constantly challenging himself and all employees to push their thinking and keep evolving in pursuit of the highest quality, best performing products possible. The imprint he left on the industry in so many areas helped establish Carsten as a widely respected and beloved visionary. He was a recipient of many accolades and awards, and he is the only golf club manufacturer in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
So, Mette, it's nice to be with you today, and I've been looking forward to talking to you for quite a while. And can you tell me a little bit about, we're going to go into lots of different subjects today, but what I'd really like to know is to start off with, about how you grew up as a child and where you grew up, and did you come from a sporting family? So if you can tell me a little bit about that, it'd be a great start.
Yeah, my name is Mette, as you know. I'm 34 years old, and I grew up in Zealand, Denmark, with my family. I have a big brother, and I have a twin brother, and mom and dad. I have been doing sports since I was a child, mostly swimming, and I had also competed in swimming for quite a years. But in 2010, I quit swimming and do golf instead, because my body could not do the training of swimming anymore.
I know you're a good swimmer. So you, when you said you were a pretty good swimmer, you're actually a very good swimmer.
Yeah, I was on the national team of para swimming also, like I'm at golf now.
And tell me about the training for swimming, because everybody gets this picture of swimmers going to the pool at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's the life. That's the life. If you want to be good at swimming, you have to train 1-2 times a week, a day. at some period, and you have to do it before school and after school also. And you do not only do the swimming, you also do a physical training at land. So it's many hours every day.
So what did a normal day look like for you? Let's say when you were, 14 years of age.
Yeah, 14 years of age, I was practicing swimming 2 hours before school, and then went to school for about 6-7 hours. And then home, making my homework, and then off to the swimming hall once again, doing 1.5 hour or so, and then 5 days a week.
Collapse into bed at night.
Yeah,
very tired.
Yeah.
So what about the competitions that you competed in?
I competed in a national competition, or also in the international competition, and like we are classified here at golf, we were also classified in swimming, and I was swimming in classified S10, is the quality of your disability and how you get into the water and how fast you can move your legs and arms. So I was in S10 and I have been it for all my swimming life.
So tell me about that categorization, because clearly in Paralympics there's very much little boxes that people fit into.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about, number one, your disability, and also number two then about the classification process that you had to go through to be able to compete in the class that you competed?
Yeah, I'm with my brother born 2 months early. And I have a CP in my left side, and the way they classified in swimming is to do some physic movement or strength test to see how strong you are in your bad side, in your good side, and then make some scoring. And then afterwards you have to do some tests in the water to see how fast you can go when you do the special crawl, butterfly, breast and all those. And then you compete in classes. S10, like I was in, was if you miss an lower arm or lower leg, because I do not have so much strength in my left leg.
And so just to clarify for the listeners, CP is cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
What about your twin brother? Is he also affected by cerebral palsy?
Yeah, actually he has just at the right side, and then because of a lot of complication in our birth, he also had a little brain damage.
You said you were into swimming and then you switched to golf. And so what made you do that? I know you said that it was physically too demanding for you, but how long was it that you were thinking that it might be too demanding before you actually said, okay, now's the time to devote myself to golf?
I was actually quitting swimming because I couldn't do both school and swim. So when I was finished with school and will go to college, and I was talking to my parents about quitting for a while and then maybe start again. But if you quit swimming and do not do any training at all, you cannot go back to the same level as you were. So I was going back for swimming, but not for a competition, just for fun. And then I turned and do some teaching instead.
So you teach swimming?
Yeah, in the winters I teach other kids with disabilities how to swim.
I'd like to come back to that in a few moments, but just let's keep on the sporting theme for a minute. So when did you first get introduced to golf?
I was first introduced to golf around 10 years old, I think. My mom is playing, and she's playing golf for about 40 years, nearly. And my big brother was also playing, so I went one day at the junior practice, and then I felt fun doing it. So I was doing it for some while, but as you know, brother and sister, they can't always be at the same sport, so I quit to do something else. And for about 10, 12 years, I started up a little again because I had once a boyfriend were playing, and then I was at once with him at the golf course, and then I was again playing golf.
What did it feel like coming back to the game?
You know, if you first have learned to ride a bike and you had your first swing hitting the driver perfectly, you just got the feeling.
And how long would it be after you started to play golf again for the second time? How long would it be after that moment until you thought, this is the game for me, this is the game that I really want to play and play well at?
For the first 2 or 3 years, I was just playing for fun and for in my spare time. But then I was with some other girls at my club at that moment. We were agreed to start a team, and then we got some teaching from the club pro, and then it went on. And I was thinking, if I train like I'm used to do with sport, I can be good at it.
You mentioned something really interesting there, is that you, together with some other girls, thought that you could create a team. Was that important to you?
Yeah, I'm a team player. You do not think that swimming is a team sport, but you are individual in the water, but you have always a team behind you, so you are not alone at all. So the team spirit, like we have here at the Edgar, everybody from everywhere, we have a team spirit and like a family. So it's important.
What is your thoughts about that? Because it seems to me that in many people's eyes, golf is a very much an individual sport, and yet we come together to play the Solheim Cup, we come to play together the Ryder Cup, and those two events are massive events. But it definitely seemed like it's very much a individual type of sport. So how do you think that we can make golf feel more like a team sport?
Yeah, golf are an individual sport because we normally play our own game with 2, 3 or 4 other in the same ball, but we always have a lot of fun between the strokes. And on a round takes 4 hours, and you have to have someone laughing with and to see which good stroke do you make or bad stroke for that reason. And I think if you remember to have fun while you are playing, it can be a team sport.
So tell me a little bit about girls' golf in Denmark. Is it growing? Is it about stable?
I think when I'm in Denmark, I play for my home club, and we are a team of 8 players which are playing a Danish competition runs over the season, and we compete against other ladies' teams. And I think it's more people playing, but not the young ones. I think we should be more prepared to invite girls to golf instead of horse riding or something like that.
What do you get most out of golf? Because you said earlier you enjoy it, you enjoy the fun. And when you look back on this week, because this is a pretty intense week, it's a European Championship. And obviously you're one of our better players that goes out there to try and win the championship. So when you look back on this week in 6 months' time, a year's time, a few years' time in the future, what is it that you remember about playing in a specific event?
This event, I'm a defending champion. That's the one reason I will think about it. But I will also think back on it because when I go for EGA Edgar tournaments, is it a championship or just a normal tournament, I'm always looking forward to it because you have to play your best. all the time because the players here are good, and you always have to win. My motto is I play, I win. But it's also nice to go back every time to see the players from other countries, and if you are from the Netherlands, from Sweden, or from Norway or Finland, we always come with a big smile.
Tell me about some of the best advice that you've received as a golfer. So things that have really helped you to become the best player that you can become.
The most important advice that I have, it's from my mom, actually. She has always told me, because I'm a long hitter, you have to take it easy and then play 80%, because then you have to be straight in the course instead of in the woods. And I always think about that when it doesn't go that well as I wanted it to be. So I just try to take it a little bit easier at the swing and then make it into the course.
I want to take you back now to one of the things that you said earlier, that you coach swimming to people with disability. So can you tell me a little bit about how you got into doing that in the first place? Obviously, you're a good swimmer, we know.
Yeah.
But how did you get into the coaching side of it? And what, when I say reward, I don't mean financial reward.
No.
What do you get out of your time coaching people to be able to swim?
I have been since I was about 8 years old, together with my twin brother, been a member of a local community with people who has disabilities of every kind, been part of this reunion, or and I wanted to give back some of those experience that I have had as a child to other child with disabilities, and the many hours they have spent on me at the swimming hole in the water, I could give some back.
You teach all kinds of swimming? Is it right from the very beginning, getting in the water and being able to actually swim for the first time, or is it competitive swimming?
It's the both. We have 2 times a week a time in the swimming hall, and for the first 40 minutes or so, we have from the beginners who have never been into the water, for someone who does swimming for fun, and then afterwards we have the competition swimmers for 1.5 hours, 2 days a week.
So what lessons can golf learn from that? Because clearly I think there's two issues that I'd like to talk about. The first one is, I don't believe there's as many women in the sport as there should be. And I don't believe there's as many people with disability in the sport as there should be.
No, there isn't.
What can we learn from what you do in swimming and that we can apply then in golf?
Yeah, I think when we talk about golf or people with disabilities, I think most of them are thinking if they have a disability, they cannot play. But we have to turn it around and say everybody can play. We each have our own disability and cannot do the perfect swing as we see in the television, but we can learn it, do it on our own way. We are 80 people here playing 80 different kind of golf because we have not like the same disabilities. So I think we should be better in the countries all over to go seek in the clubs, because every club in Europe or in the world has people with disabilities who are not actually knowing is that you have the opportunity to go play with others with disabilities.
Yeah, we know there's around about 15% of the world that has a disability. And so it's unthinkable that a golf club...
But it's also because some people with a disability do not see themselves as one. So that we have to turn a little bit around, because even if you have a small disability, you still have it and then you have to learn to live with it, and you can play golf with normal people, but you can also have a lot of fun and a lot of competition playing with someone who are in the same boat.
It seems to me that that's very different as well to swimming, for example. It would be rare that you would see, I'm not saying impossible, but rare that you would see a person with disability swimming against somebody who perhaps does not have a disability in a competitive level. Yeah. Whereas in golf, we can do that clearly because of the handicap system.
Yeah, the handicap system do it all, because then you have it again. A new golfer can be playing with a leader golfer in handicap null. Yeah. But you also have some good startup system in the clubs when you are a new golfer until you have handicap of 36.
Do you see yourself in the future coaching some people to play golf?
I do not think of myself good enough to teach golf, because it's a very difficult sport to teach, but I can be helpful at the junior or in new beginners. It could be possible, yeah.
I'd just like to talk about a couple of other things now that are kind of general questions, just to get a feel for Meta the person. So is there anything about Meta that might surprise us?
I don't know. Before I went using all my time at golf, I actually loved doing customized cars. So do speeding with cars. And that's not what people are knowing me for, because that's some years ago, but I still love cars, and if I have the opportunity to it, I would have some customized car that I have made myself.
Well, tell me about the cars now. Which car would you have if you could buy your perfect customized car that you can then go and customize? What car would you use to start off with? What would be the base of your customization?
I would actually, having my old customer's cars back, it would be nice. I had a customized Volkswagen GTI with over 400 horsepower, and I have made it myself with my father and some friends. So it's very special for me. But if I had to have a new car today, I will probably have some Mercedes.
Did you race the cars?
Yeah, I raced it, but not illegal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Were you too young?
No, I was doing street racing. It's not illegal in Denmark.
And were you good?
Yeah, I was good. I have a fast car for a mile, so.
And fearless.
Yeah.
Put the foot down and go.
Yeah, actually.
I'm sure. I might talk to you a bit more about that one at some time. So are there any patterns in your life now that you might attribute to your upbringing?
It's hard. Right now I'm glad where the way I'm at the moment, but it depends on my health and the strength in my body. So I'm working every day in the gym and hope to play golf for some while in the competition.
So what does your normal training routine look like now for golf?
My normal training routine is I go to the gym 5 or 6 times a week to do the lifting or bike spinning for doing the to do the fit. For the last 4 or 5 years I have lost many kilos. And I'm attempted to be in that weight I have been for the last 2 years now, in the fit condition I'm in at the moment, because I feel a lot better with myself and can do a lot of stuff that I couldn't do 5 years ago because I was getting too heavy.
When you say you're too heavy, how heavy were you?
In kilos, 115.
115. And today we look at somebody who's a lot less than that.
Yeah, 70, 71.
I mean, that's a massive amount of weight to lose. So what was the switch for you? What was it that made you do that?
Yeah, I was finally seeing myself in the mirror one day and thought about why my nearest family haven't been told me anything and just let it be like it was. And then I said to myself, if I want to have it better in my body and with my disability, I have to do something now. And then I took one day, actually the 1st of January, and then I said, never again.
So how did you go about it? Because, I mean, you're talking about over 40 kilos.
Yeah.
So that is more than half of your body weight that you've got now. I know you lose it 1 kilo at a time, I understand that. Yeah. But what did you have to do? What kind of plan did you create for yourself?
To start with, I been planning eating different and not less, but the right thing instead of all the wrong thing. And then I went to the gym almost only doing the cardio thing to came into shape, and then do the heavy lifting a little bit further than that.
And you obviously work with trainers or not?
I worked with trainers for the first year or so, and then by myself for the rest.
And in your golf training, do you work with trainers? Do you work with coaches?
Yeah. I have been working with the club pros in the clubs where I have been playing, and for the last 3 years we have at the Paralympic golf team of Denmark we have our own coach, and he is also one person that I have come to outside competition for once 2 days a week.
It seems like the Danish team do well for the golf team. It seems like the commitment is pretty good.
Yeah.
So how many people are in the Danish Paralympic team?
We are about 20-25 people in the big group, but when we do the competition like the European Championship, we are 6 to 8 people. Depending on who are playing and the shape they are in, or the money we can spend on it, but most of it are 6 to 8.
Some countries would say that it's all right for Denmark, so because the federation look after the team and yeah, they make an effort to support the team. But I also know that as an athlete, you have a responsibility to the federation, to the team of the federation. So is the Danish federation quite demanding of what you do in order to be able to stay on the team?
Yeah, we have to get to do our own training back at the club, and we have to be, if possible, to be a part of a team in our club to be able to play some different courses over the season. And we also have to be playing in Europe at the Edgar tournament to show that we want to play in a competition and make some results.
So your position in tournaments is quite important.
Yeah, it is. We have most of the guys. We do not have so many ladies, unfortunately, but we have a lot of guys who are playing very good, and there are always some competition for the small amount of place that we have in a European competition like this. We have 4 guys with us today, but we could easily bring 10 or 12.
It seems you've got a very competitive mentality. You're a competitive swimmer, now a competitive golfer, competitive drag racing, we'll call it, competitive losing your weight. Have you always been like that, very driven and very competitive?
I'm very competitive. Also, in my work life, I will like to do the things just a little bit better every day. I have it when I planning my day. I can plan it in boxes because then my head is working a little bit better because I have a schedule in my head to do every day because I have a lot of things I want, and then you have to do a little bit schedule.
So you have to make the time for it.
Yeah, I have to make it because I really want to do physical training or fitness every day if I can. And then I also have 8 hours of work, and then I have to spend some time with my family and boyfriend, and then it all rolls.
What is it you do for work, Mette?
I'm a bookkeeper, yeah. So, and it's a job for about 20-25 hours a week, and after that I've been helping my father at his company for the last 7 years. So I'm bookkeeping for 20-25 hours and then 10-20 hours helping my father, which I love. So
I'm going to ask you a golf related question now, which is, if you could play a four ball with anybody, who would you pick and why?
I will pick Phil Mickelson for once. He has always been idol for me because his short game are tremendous. And then I will pick out Annika Sørenstam. She is a player which I look up to when I started golf because I was told every time I went to the range, I have her swing, so that became an idol for me. And then I will pick our Danish player, Iben Tinning. I have been playing with her for some time now at special events, but she is a very nice person, and when we have the European Championship in Denmark, actually our ambassador. So she is a little bit into the golf, paragolf world, so.
Is there anything, any objectives that you've got, any goals, any aspirations in golf that you'd be prepared to share with us?
I've been inspirational just by looking at the range every day I go at those tournaments here, because people who are doing something for themselves, for the sport, for the competition, are inspiring, and you get the energy of seeing people smile instead of being sad because they are not cannot do what everybody can do.
I know you get this a little bit from your coaching in swimming. But if you could magically be with somebody who has CP, a similar disability to yourself, what advice would you want to give them?
Just do everything you want in your life and do not be stopped by your disability. You can do it on your own way. Maybe it takes a little more practice, it takes a little longer, but everybody can do what they want it to. So I have been told by my parents or family all my life, if you want, you can try. If you cannot do it, then you can train to be better at everything. And you can also swim, and you can sit down and cry, but I'm not that. I try every day very hard to be better for work, for golfing, for my life at all. So
you always have a smile on your face, Mette. That's why I've been really looking forward to having a chat with you. So thank you very much for your time. I'm going to let you go and do whatever you need to do now. You've played this morning, I know. You've got the final round tomorrow. So I wish you all the best with that. And thank you very much for your time. If somebody wanted to reach you, how could they find you?
I have a Facebook website calling Paragolfer, and my name, Mette Vegge Lindgaard, 2016. They can find me there.
Perfect. Again, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This was an Edgar Player story supported by Ping, helping golfers to play their best. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Stay tuned for the next Edgar podcast. Ping. Play your best.